episode 215 of Flyaway. We're a group of agents from Outlander Travel who get together every week to talk about all things travel. Whether you've been listening for a while or just tuning in, we're glad you found us. We truly believe that travel has the power to change the world, and we want to inspire others to come along with us. We chat about destinations, current events, our favorite experiences, and a lot more. We love to hear your feedback and ideas for topics, so be sure to connect with us on our website, Facebook, or Twitter. My name is Laura, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Sandy, Donna, and Elizabeth, and our special guests, Peter and Kevin. Welcome, guys.
Yay!
Hey. Welcome back.
Croatia is an Eastern European country with a long coastline in the Adriatic Sea. Encompassing more than 1,000 islands, it's also crossed by the Dionic Alps. Its inland capital, Zagreb, is distinguished by its medieval grad upper town and diverse museums. The major coastal city, Dubrovnik, has massive 16th century walls encircling an old town with Gothic and Renaissance buildings. Peter and Kevin spent a week in Croatia this August with their family, much of it sailing the stunning coastline. And they have come to share their experiences, insights, and words of wisdom. So Peter and Kevin, welcome back, and let's get started.
Okay, thank you.
So why Croatia?
Why not Croatia? Actually, what we did is we started by Kevin's mom and dad, Paul and Sharon, had said that they wanted to go on another sailing adventure. That they'd done with their family, a couple decades ago?
Yeah, we'd done several trips in my childhood. So in the Caribbean, in Chesapeake, in the San Juan Islands up in Washington. And we wanted to do, we talked about doing another Caribbean trip. My dad loves sailing. We had always done it just us on the boat with no skipper or anything. And we decided we were going to do a trip, and in picking the destination, Croatia kept popping up as one that was a fun destination, an economical destination, and it fit in well with the season of which the time that we were going to travel. So
yeah, and to be honest, we started with Tonga, Polynesia, like Fiji, that area.
Yep,
as well as Greece. The Virgin Islands, and Croatia. And as we narrowed it down, as Kevin said, Croatia kind of kept popping up, and voila. Kevin did all the legwork, all the planning, and that's where we ended up going. And it was perfect because we ended up with a total of 8 family members and a skipper on board a ship.
Nice.
Wow, that's awesome. I didn't realize there were 1,000 islands that made up Croatia.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
Yep. So how long were you guys gone, and how much of that was spent on the, well, I won't say on the water, but sailing? How much of that was actually the sailing portion of the trip?
Well, really the whole time we were in Croatia, except for one day on the front, was all spent on board a 45-foot catamaran. And we arrived in and spent a beautiful day seeing Dubrovnik. And then the next afternoon, went out to the marina, hopped on board, and spent 7 days on the boat, and then hopped off at the crack of dawn, and everyone ran off to their respective flights, and off we went.
Wow.
So seven nights on a 45-foot catamaran with your family. That sounds great.
Sounds close.
It was phenomenal. We had so much fun.
She's in the room.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's some people think, oh man, that's kind of close quarters for 7 straight days. But sailboats differ from catamarans, sailing boats, as they were calling them there. There's just a lot more room. It's in between the two pontoons. Is that what you call it? There's a good deal of living space, and then there's the whole back area, the interior space, and then the whole front area where you can really kind of fit 10 people on a boat like that and not feel crowded, not feeling on top of each other. So
And if someone misbehaves, you just throw them off into the water.
Let them swim to one of the islands.
And they won't even hold it against you because the water is perfect.
Somebody's trying to get thrown overboard, is what you're saying.
Exactly.
So did you like...
Marisha, when you do the research on this for charters, Croatia, I think, has, I don't know statistically accurately, but it's got one of the biggest... charter populations there, where you can, the number of companies, the number of boats, the number of ports far outweigh anybody else almost on the globe, I think. And they're really big into their catamarans versus the sailing boats, which makes it so much more of a social thing, I think.
Mm-hmm. And but they really do have something for everyone. They've got small cruise ships. Mm-hmm. They've got hardcore boat sailing boats for sailors, and they also have catamarans, and you know, then they've got ferries that go between the islands, and of course you intersperse that with the mega yachts of the super rich, and it's quite an interesting place.
How much time did you spend visiting the islands though? Was it like every day you picked one, or what did you do?
We kind of left our itinerary up to our skipper as far as what he recommended. Mm-hmm. So we'd get up in the morning and be on our way. We'd stop at about 11 o'clock and go swimming and have lunch, pick our evening destination and slowly work our way there. So the lunch stop didn't always entail going on land, but sometimes did. Maybe a little hike or a little something that he had in mind there. A beach or something,
but usually a couple swimming stops, whether it involved a beach or just dropping anchor in a protected cove and just everybody leaping overboard and going for a swim. Or one time we even stopped and went into a cave that you can only access from the ocean.
Cool.
Yeah.
So in the evenings, you would dock. Basically, he preferred. You could anchor off, but our skipper preferred to pull up to a dock where there were restaurants and you could use showers and facilities there and get off the boat for a couple hours, and I guess.
And that was also driven by us, too, because when he discussed the whole situation with us, we said, you know, we really want to go into town for most dinners. Mm-hmm. And so I think we only ate dinner one night or two nights on the boat.
I think we only made our own food, yeah, one or two nights. And then, you know, you go into a local grocery store and get some baked goods for breakfast, things like that.
So what was the best thing you ate?
Every meal they would come out with just this huge platter of fish of the day, like their fresh catch. Yeah. And where they would take a whole fish and offer it to cut it up for the entire group of us, 10 of us.
And if you like calamari, you've died and gone to heaven, because yeah, everywhere you go, it was just fresh and delicious.
Did they have octopus too? Did they do octopus?
Yeah. Octopus. There were different kinds of a local variation of sea bass. They had lobster.
Yeah.
Calamari. Let's see. Calamari. Yeah. And then very much Mediterranean, fresh ingredient salads, tomatoes, and all that stuff.
Our first night on the boat, we went to a restaurant that I think there were probably 8 boats in this little harbor at their dock with one restaurant, and it was a prefix menu, and it was very elevated dining. It was probably, I think, 8 courses, and it was, it was impressive. And almost scared us a little, like, this isn't the kind of dining we need every night.
Was that early in the trip?
You need to fit in your clothes on the way home, huh?
Yeah. And I mean, in the presentation of the food, it was no kidding. This restaurant out in the middle of no kidding nowhere on this little island, and the preparation and presentation of this food, you felt like you were dining in one of the nicest restaurants in a big city. That's how elevated that restaurant was.
What were some of the things they served you for the courses?
Well, there was like a sashimi.
Yeah, there was almost always a sashimi at one of the meals, or a tartare of some sort.
Yeah.
Seafood tartare.
But then the other items, of course, there's a heavy emphasis on seafood, but you could also find, steak and lamb and soup and chicken. I mean, you name it. They had just about everything, but obviously based on location, everybody had amazing seafood.
Plus, sometimes we'd ask, what was this? It was delicious. And then we'd get a little bit of a lost in translation name for the fish. So sometimes they just lie to us and say, that was tuna.
It's too difficult. We're just going to call it tuna and move on.
Yeah, we questioned it, and the skipper would say, well, not like tuna like you know, but it's what we have for tuna.
That's like dolphin.
Croatian tuna.
Dolphin.
Yes, exactly. Croatian tuna.
And to clarify, this was not a restaurant that you had picked before you went. This wasn't like you found it in a travel guide, so we have to eat there. You basically said, hey, skipper, where are we going tonight?
Okay. Right. And he knew of these places, and he called ahead to get us a spot on the dock and a seat at the restaurant for almost all of our evening meals.
Yep. He's like, skipper on the boat, but he's definitely, without having a steward on the boat, he's the concierge for us too. Mm-hmm. So asks questions throughout the day on what kind of things we're interested in, if we're wanting a nice prepared meal, or if we're wanting something low key, or if people not even really that hungry. And then he decides where our port is and what kind of restaurant he's going to take us to. And it worked out, I think, very well for us almost every night.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a question going back to something else that you said in passing. You said you took showers like on land. So there were no showers on the boat?
Oh, no. This boat was so fully equipped. It actually had four staterooms. And each stateroom had about a queen size bed in it. And then attached to each stateroom was a toilet and shower.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So a very compact but full bathroom.
So you could
shower there. But when we were in port, you could, in the morning, go to their shower facility, which was usually, part and parcel of the dock and the restaurant. That was just easier.
Roomier, perhaps?
Yeah, a little bit roomier.
I'm picturing like a gym
and
shower.
And then, a couple mornings, I just jumped off the end of the boat and swam around in the ocean for a while and then took the freshwater hose and rinsed myself off and then called it good. No one complained too loudly.
Well, I had done some research, and this
they made me sit downwind of them.
Yeah, exactly.
Imagine that.
This boat was a 2018, so it was brand new, but this was its first season in service. My mom and I definitely agreed we wanted one that was relatively new, so we didn't have to have any problems.
Yeah.
And so this came with what they call a water maker. It was, decked out with enough water for you. So you could be at cruise, I think, for up to 3 days and have hot water with using the solar features on the boat. Hmm. But definitely not every boat in the area had those kind of amenities. And a lot of them used the shower services in the port. So... it was just an option.
Well, it's good for our listeners to know if they're looking for that kind of trip through one of our suppliers that do these kind of sailing trips, to ask those kind of questions of us, of their travel agent, whatever, that they do have these updated boats and to see what features they have. So that's a good educational piece.
Yeah, I think, absolutely. For them.
Did it have Wi-Fi?
Oh, it had booming Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was unbelievable. You could pay $25 for Wi-Fi in a hotel room for a night. This was $35 for 70 gigs of Wi-Fi for the whole boat for the week.
And that was enough.
So, you know, nobody was streaming movies or anything like that. You're way too busy having fun. So really what people did was, if you wanted to check your email, you could do that. If you wanted to text with people, do a FaceTime call. Or the biggest thing that people did was post pictures to a group photo stream that we had going and post to Facebook.
Nice. Yes, I can attest to that. they did it frequently, and there were a lot of them.
And all family members got to go, so there were some FaceTime calls where you give a nice tour of the boat. And so,
yeah, sadly, some children had to be in college. They were in school and working away while we're frolicking.
And they're like, you played it till I was out of the house. Vacations. I remember saying
that. And then on vacation, you'd think, oh, it'd be great to unplug. But, I mean, we were kind of lazy for 7 days on a boat. It was nice to have Wi-Fi and access to stay a little bit connected for entertainment.
So you guys were talking about to me earlier about some, like, big boating event.
Oh, yeah.
Yacht Week is, like, the crazy party.
I'm not sure we fully understand Yacht Week.
Over in Croatia.
We've
heard and seen pictures.
About it, yeah, and seen pictures, like aerial pictures of it. But it seems to be a really big thing for young people. And, I mean, like a really big party, like the Lake Havasu type party scene.
And so what they do is all these boats go out during Yacht Week, and they, a lot of them, from what we gathered, some of them are large boats that might have, what, like 20 rooms? Some of the larger ones.
Some of them.
But then, you know, a catamaran would sell out individual beds. And these boats go out, and they go out to different locations, and they raft together in a big circle, and it's just a big party. And one of the towns they go to, and it's kind of interesting in that it's a very historic old Venetian trading port, but it's also become like the biggest, hottest party destination in Croatia. And that's the town of Hvar. And it's like the all night, you know, party scene. And we saw a lot of young people there, you know, out, having fun.
Did you go during Yacht Week, or was it?
No, we were not there during Yacht Week.
Okay.
When is that? Just so our listeners who either want to experience it or avoid it can do something.
I think it's summer. Spring break-ish, yeah.
Okay.
And he was talking about how they raft. You said they raft together, and then they like go from boat to boat, right?
Yeah, so if you look from an aerial, it's like the bows are all rafted together in kind of like a star. Like it looks like a sun. And then, yeah, you're just the party is just walk around from boat to boat. They take the sidelines down, and you can just kind of walk around the platform, and it's a one big party.
And, you know, throw your floaty into the center and, you know, expand the circle.
Mm-hmm.
But it really, in fact, we were in port one night in... I'm trying to remember where it was. I think it was Pomena. And they there were four large boats that could easily accommodate 20 people each.
Yeah, they called that the book by cabin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, book by cabin cruises. And they had four of these big boats all rafted, one right up next to the other on the pier. And there were disco lights going and dance music well into the evening.
Wow.
And they were gone before we were up in the morning.
So you've used some terminology that I just want to make sure that our listeners understand. I think it may go without saying, but just in case, you're talking about book by cabin versus what you did. So you chartered a whole boat, and there were eight of you, which it sounds like with four cabins, that's what it was meant to sleep. But you could have gone with just two of you and chartered that boat, and they wouldn't have... Sure. Put anyone else on it, as opposed to...
Right, and it would have just been, you know, let's say the two of us and our skipper on this huge catamaran.
Right, whereas then if you're doing by cabin, it's almost like booking into a cruise ship where you're going to have a cabin to yourself, but then you're going to meet a whole bunch of other people who also booked into the same.
Yep, that's exactly it.
Yep.
And we saw a lot of those boats out there sailing the islands that were boat by cabin type boats.
Mm-hmm. You said that you this was a great time of year to go. What were the temperature? What was the weather like during this time of year?
I mean, I loved it because I'm always cold, but I want a warm vacation. It was between 80s and 90s, I think, and then the water temperature was absolutely perfect. It was
like
high 70s, maybe.
Probably around 80 degrees. So that the water was, it didn't matter whether it was morning, afternoon, evening, when you jumped in, it was refreshing but not cold. So when you're hot in the afternoon, it felt great and it cooled you off. But when you jumped in the morning, you weren't like, you know, yikes, get me out of here. Yeah. You know, it was so comfortable.
Not like Norway, huh, Kevin?
Yeah, Norway was, you know that, it was cold.
So when did you go? Because we didn't actually mention when you were there.
The last week of August.
Okay. So as far as crowds go, because, you know, you're talking about all these, you know, how this is the thing to do, and there's all these different boats around. Did you feel like there was always another boat right beside you, or were there times where you felt like you were out there by yourself? How was that crowd level?
You know, you could, if you scanned around the horizon, you could definitely find another boat or two out there. When we were in some of the busier areas, like in Hvar, there were lots of boats, but there were times when after we'd left Hvar and we were heading to our next port, Zakopanika, where I don't think I could see another boat.
Wow.
For a while, where we were just out there all on our own.
Usually for our like 11 o'clock swim, there were a couple of boats in the little beach or little harbor that we were pulling into. And then definitely he took us to harbors that had 8 to 10 boats, probably.
Yeah, because the protected, coves and harbors, that's where people want to drop anchor for the night. And it also has to be shallow enough to drop an anchor. Because one of the things with the Adriatic is the coastline is very rugged, and you'll have this beautiful turquoise water for like 30 feet, 30 to 50 feet, right up against the edge. And then it just turns into this sapphire blue abyss because the water drops off and becomes very, very deep.
Hmm. You know, you said you guys went with Kevin's parents. And I know your friend James was with you. Were you with Kevin? Was it your sister that was with you? Who was the other?
So my parents and then my two sisters and one of my sister's husbands.
So what was kind of the age range of the folks on your boat?
So I was...
You're the baby.
Yeah, I'm the youngest at 46 and my parents at 76.
Yeah, so I just wanted to mention that because I think, you know, it sounds like it was a great kind of multi-generational, you know, trip that everybody found something to enjoy. Would you say that?
It was nice. And we saw some boats that had younger people, but most people were like us, maybe.
Yeah,
our generation range. Yeah,
yeah. Although, and we did see some families with kids, you know, as young as, I don't know, 7, 8.
Yeah, certainly.
Yeah,
like I said, I grew up going on these charter vacations, and it's so much fun for young kids too.
So you mentioned at the beginning that you only spent a day in Dubrovnik, but I don't want to gloss over talking about that a little bit. Tell us, what's that like, and what would people like about Dubrovnik?
It's like Game of Thrones, right?
Well, Game of Thrones, for starters, if you're a fan of Game of Thrones, the whole town of Westeros, the Red Keep and all that, that is where that was all filmed. And so you're walking around and you can search out the sites where that happened, and you can walk the city walls, which are just spectacular. And then the old architecture and the old basilica, it's just absolutely beautiful. you know, this medieval walled town with a beautiful port. It's car free. There are zero automobiles. It's walk. You're doing it on your feet, and things are delivered on little electrified forklifts. You know, in the early mornings is when they do all the deliveries because there are pedestrians out all over the place during the day.
That's cool.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
It's very small, very tiny.
5 minutes.
Okay, seven.
Seven. Yeah.
No, long legs. it's very small for what you think it's going to be, yet it packs in a lot of places to stay, you know, inns and bed and breakfasts and things like that, and then a ton of restaurants, tourist shops.
Yeah, because the big cruise ships go there. So,
well, the bigger cruise ships, not the huge ones, but
right. But yeah. I mean, like the couple thousand passenger ones. Yeah.
Yeah, and so Dubrovnik can get crowded, but you know, you've got to expect it. It is a world destination.
Plus, we're also talking about the old world. The old city that's old walled city. In.
Mm-hmm.
There is a larger perimeter area that has bigger resorts and things like that. And so not everyone stays in the old city.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as the pedestrian area that you're talking about with the no cars, that's just within the walled city, correct?
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. But in fact, some of the neat things about the walled city is there are restaurants and bars where they've used an opening that was in the wall, and they've carved in steps and set up tables and umbrellas, and so you can dine on the outside, the seaside of the wall.
Isn't it called Secret Bar or something?
Yeah, it's called Secret Bar, but it's not a secret.
Well, not anymore.
And you can go there and go swimming and just jump off the rocks into the water, swim around, and then climb back up, go sit down, have a cool adult beverage or a can of soda.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, it's just absolutely charming.
So
do you think if people were going there, they would have trouble with the language barrier?
That was exactly what I was going to ask.
No, not at all. Everyone speaks great English, and it's like a lot of heavy tourist areas. It's all English based, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Even along the coastline, as you went up the coastline, did you have?
I'd say most of the restaurants we were pretty good. Our skipper was there for us, but I don't know that we relied on him for any kind of translation.
Yeah, he was Croatian, and so he would call ahead and make our port reservations, our dinner reservations. And of course, he would be speaking with the restaurant owners in Croatian, obviously. But once we got to the restaurant, if they didn't speak enough English, they had an English menu.
So besides telling you what kind of fish it was, that you were good to go, huh?
Yeah.
Or right. What kind of fish it wasn't. Just the
grocery store, convenience store. You know, maybe the clerk behind the counter didn't speak English, but they most likely did. And if they didn't, well, you know, you have an armful of stuff that you're buying, and you hand them a credit card, and you walk out with your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there really was no language barrier.
You know, one of the things that we always talk about that has not been brought up, and I'm honestly shocked you guys are off your game, is they always want to ask about the beer and the wine.
Well, he did just mention adult beverages, so I thought we were getting there.
Yes.
Yeah. What was the beer? There was basically one beer that we drank the entire time. I'm blanking on the name of it.
I could look it up, but yeah, we had
just a local lager.
Yeah, it was a local lager beer, and it was plenty tasty. And then the Croatian wines, they, in my opinion, were really rivaling a lot of the Italian wines.
We were on a gin and tonic kick on the boat.
I can support that.
Yes, there were afternoon gin and tonics.
Every day, about every 3 day. Or 4 o'clock, the gin and tonics came flying around, which was, was fun.
It's gin
they lend themselves to warm sun and water.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was it Croatian gin or was it just?
No, it was, what did we have?
I think it was Bombay.
Okay.
Was it Bombay?
Did you bring it or did they have it for you?
No, liquor stores had it.
So you just bring it on board.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we had a lot of Aperol Spritz. That was a nice drink. It kind of screams vacation, I think.
Yeah, and that brilliant orange color.
Yeah.
It's just a nice, light, refreshing afternoon. Nice afternoon cocktail.
Mm-hmm. We ate caprese salad, I think, six times on the boat.
Nice.
7 days, which was great. One day, our skipper went out and bought us a whole plant. An entire basil plant.
Wow.
He's like, you guys are loving your caprese. Here, go have at it.
So this is not an all-inclusive experience, right? You're basically buying your food as you go. It's all sort of a la carte. And you can basically put together your meals. If you wanted to eat on the boat every night, you could, right? You could.
Yeah, absolutely. So we could have gotten a steward. We could have also gotten a chef in addition to the skipper. And then you can also prepay with your company to get full board and beverage, so they'll provide everything. And then your steward and your chef will be there kind of coordinating all that stuff. And he said that that's very common for people to have all of those services because they don't want to have to think about things really at all.
It would have been nice. As you describe it, it does sound like the ultimate vacation for non-planners. It's just like, take me to somewhere beautiful and then just drag me around and show me stuff.
And you can't go wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're exactly right. No matter what happens, you're going to end up loving it. So,
yeah, you can't go wrong. And wherever he stopped, you're like, this is so beautiful.
Mm-hmm. This is the most beautiful place I've ever seen.
To go swimming, to go snorkeling.
Yeah, when I was talking with Peter before, I said, is there anything that you would tell people that they absolutely need to bring to Croatia? And he said, good sunscreen.
Yeah.
That's true. You are definitely hiding from the sun a lot because it's hot and blazing
and almost not a cloud in the sky.
Well, you know, it is August.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
Well, but I think we did
have rain a couple of nights.
Yeah.
We never had any rain during the day, but we did have rain a couple of nights.
That's kind of nice, though. It cools it off.
Exactly.
It was a full thunderstorm one night. It was kind of neat.
Ooh.
Lightning and everything.
Were you on the boat when that happened?
We were.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we were
in port, and we'd finished dinner, and in the middle of the night, you all of a sudden start hearing all this thunder and lightning, and it was just wonderful.
You didn't go up on the boat and take a look or anything, huh? You just listened.
Mama didn't raise no fool. I stayed downstairs and just listened to it. It was beautiful.
So back to the food that you could purchase and the restaurants that you ate, can you talk a little bit about the sort of cost expectations for something like this? It sounds very expensive, but can you compare like your really nice meal, the 7-course meal that you described? Do you have any sense of how much that costs, or at least can you compare it to maybe other destinations?
Yeah, I think that's true. The meals were a little bit expensive. Certainly that prefix meal was expensive. And if you opted for the big fish that they had, the big, fresh catch of the day, that wasn't cheap. It wasn't an inexpensive option, but it was delicious. Mm-hmm. And one of the tricky things was that everything on our itinerary, I'm not sure if this is how it always is, but the places he took us were all cash based for everything. And so we thought, oh, we'll be able to just, somebody will pay for this one, somebody will pay for that one, it'll all even out. And it ended up being all cash based. So we ended up having to kind of really be tracking how much cash everyone had going into a meal and making sure we were stopping at ATMs and getting enough. And, you're not quite sure how much it's going to cost and how much you got at the ATM. You don't want to get a ton of money and leave Croatia with, 10,000 Croatian dollars or something.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is with a lot of these restaurants, it you were it, there was basically no moorage fee.
Oh yeah, that was
To stay at the restaurant's dock. So if you if you agreed to eat at their restaurant, you weren't paying a moorage fee for the boat, which in some of the more popular towns you could pay 300 euro, which, you know, that's like almost $400
yeah.
for a night or a junk dock in Korčula
yeah.
Or Hvar.
Yeah, so it kind of offset that. So where a restaurant might seem like it was a little pricier than you thought it would be, mm-hmm. you were getting your moorage, and which comes with water and all the stuff that they, you know, provide for the skipper while you're there too, to make sure it's easy for the boat the next day.
And that's for overnight. So, you know, you eat yeah. a meal, but you're there all night.
Yep.
Right.
Did you, like when you were saying you'd pick up stuff to take on the boat, did you find that expensive or just the restaurant's expensive?
No. That wasn't expensive. When we picked up a bottle of gin at the grocery store, that wasn't expensive.
Bottles of wine weren't expensive.
Yeah.
Any of our breakfast or lunch stuff really was very reasonably priced.
Yeah.
Even on these grocery stores on these tiny little islands, they weren't ripping you off in any way.
So you guys live in Chicago. Would you say the prices were comparable to what you might pay?
Restaurant prices were comparable. Grocery store prices were, you know, more affordable, I think.
Okay. Well, that's a good I think way for people to kind of look at it is.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
But again, some of the meals were elevated and comparable to how good Chicago restaurants can be. So,
mm-hmm. And, you know, one night we went into town and had pizza for dinner, you know, at a nice little restaurant that overlooked the water. And that wasn't particularly expensive. As
individual pizzas, $8 to $10.
Yeah.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So you said the fish was really good. Is there anything else that was really that, you know, is there a pasta or a bread or a dessert or anything that was really good? Carb or vegetable, or this screams Croatia at you?
What was it, the green that they kept? It was like rainbow shard, wasn't it? That they had? Yeah. They served the same vegetable. It was like rainbow shard or not kale.
Like Swiss chards kind of thing, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Rainbow shard and potatoes mixed together.
Potatoes, yeah. Like a Swiss chard and potatoes.
Yeah, which was perfect for me. I loved it. It was kind of one of their only vegetable options. Like, so you're going to have the fish and the Swiss chard, right?
So I gave him mine and I took some more calamari.
I would too.
Happy.
Yeah.
I would do that too.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, and gelato.
Oh,
yeah.
So I'm curious. So sorry. Gin and tonics and gelato.
Right? I'm curious, because you were actually on a boat and everything, did you find that the seas were rough, or were they relatively calm that time of year?
Relatively calm most of the time.
Yeah, because there's so many islands, I think a lot of it is protected, the waterways that you're going on. There are some, I mean, there were some swells and people were trying to stay on top versus going down below where you start to feel a little seasick maybe, but only one day that I know of.
Yeah. And in fact, we only really sailed for 2 days out of the whole trip. Mm-hmm. The rest of it was motoring because there was very little wind, most days. But when the wind picked up, boy, we had some beautiful sailing where we were making some really good mileage, and the boat was just cruising along.
Yeah, my one sister's husband didn't go with us because he gets seasick. And I don't know if he would have been okay or not, because really 90% of the time was basically calm waters.
Mm-hmm. I think on that one day, yeah, he would have been barfing.
He might have been.
Yeah. it would not have been pretty, because it was, I'm not going to say it was, I've been on much rougher seas, but it was definitely bouncy.
Was that one of the, was that?
That was not the typical experience. Almost day in, day out, We had, you know, maybe a light breeze and beautiful seas.
Was that on one of the days where it had rained in the evening, or was it more just where you were going happened to be less protected?
Yeah, I think it rained that night.
Yeah, it rained that night. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and a front passed, and then it just smoothed right back out again.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah, that weather, so pesky. Always spoiling a good time.
Those clear blue skies.
if only the travel agents could control that, we would just be golden.
That would be lovely.
Yeah.
Yes, would you like to buy the good weather package?
It's extra.
We do have clients who are frustrated that we couldn't fix that.
So. Sell it and then just sell some insurance with it.
Yeah.
Well, that's our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. We'd love for you to share your life-changing travel moments with us on our Facebook page. You can find us on Facebook as Fly Away or from the podcast page at OutlanderTravel.com. Please be sure to subscribe to us and leave a review on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcast. We'd love to hear from you. On behalf of Elizabeth, Sandy, Donna, and our special guest, Peter and Kevin, and myself, Laura, thanks for joining us this week. We wish you all a happy holidays, and we'll see you next time. Gotta fly!